Thank you, Brother Gary, and a good morning to you again. It's good to see all of you. Appreciate your song, Brother Jack. The first time that I tried to preach, and it was sort of rough, I'll have to tell you, some of you remember just how rough it was. You were eyewitnesses, but I remember I asked Brother Jack to sing a song that night before I preached. I thought, if he can just sing that beautiful song, it'll help me. And it did. I appreciate it. Remember what you sung, Jack? The Broken Rose. And it was beautiful. And that did help me. That did help me. But I learned that night I had my work cut out for me. I'll tell you that. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you. I don't have a traditional 4th of July Independence Day message, you know, theme of that sort. I'm dressed the part. I tried. Amen. But the word will not be among that today, I don't think. God knows. Amen. But I do want to share a message. I believe that it's important that we hear today and that God will speak to us. And it's about a lot of things, you know, motivating God's people to get involved. It's about motivating people to be saved. It's about telling us to get on the firing line, to get involved, you know, and get serious with the Lord's business. Let's turn to Mark chapter 15, verses 20 through 26 for our text this morning. And the subject is going to be an innocent bystander. Too many people today want to be just sort of innocent bystanders in this business that's going on. Mark chapter 15, in these few verses, is going to tell us about a man who was really out of circumstances, or he's just an innocent bystander, but he is pressed into service. Pressed into service. The Lord loves volunteers, amen? But sometimes he will press his people into service. Mark chapter 15, it's the chapter in Mark about the crucifixion, verses number 20. The Bible reads, "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." And this superscription of his accusation was written over him, "The King of the Jews." In verse 21, the scripture reads, "And they compel one Simon of Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." An innocent bystander is pressed into service. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for the gospel message of hope that we have. Thank you that we can stand today and proclaim hope, dear Lord, beyond the brokenness of this world. Hope, dear Lord. I pray that today that we'll all be encouraged with hope. The church be edified and built up, dear Lord, and unbelievers find true hope today in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would meet our every need here today. Lord, lighten our burdens. Give us light to guide us. Help us, dear Lord, in the struggles of life. Bless those who are struggling. I pray for the sick, for their healing. I pray that you continue blessings upon this church, dear Lord. We thank you for all your blessings. We are a blessed people today, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. An innocent bystander is pressed into duty here. Let's think about Jesus has just been found guilty. The Sanhedrin court officially met early that morning and carried out the sentence, the death sentence. The death penalty was issued. They had to carry him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who really didn't want to get too involved in this deal, who sort of wanted to be an innocent bystander, but he couldn't, because he's the man, right? He cannot claim, "I'm just an innocent bystander caught up in this," but he had to make a decision. And pressed, he did so. And it was a tough decision. The soldiers were very cruel. They are the law. They are the law. Very intimidating. Sometimes law officers can be a bit intimidating. You know it? They can. And these Roman soldiers were pretty brutal. They wouldn't put up with a whole lot. They're there to do a job, and hey, they're going to do it. And after Pilate tried a few maneuvering mechanisms, maybe to let Jesus go, the people wouldn't hear it. Their hearts were set on killing Jesus. They demanded Barabbas, a murderer, be released, and what'll I do with Jesus? Crucify him. They demanded it. They are not asking for him to crucify Jesus, but they are demanding it, even the people. And, of course, the high priests and chiefs, rulers and of the people, when Pilate would hum-haw around a little bit there, I don't really find much wrong with him. I don't see the threat. He's a revolutionary. Looks pretty passive to me. He doesn't look to be a threat to me. I've heard nothing from him. In fact, he had very little to say about anything. And they said, "If you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar." Oh, now Caesar is my boss. You understand? Caesar is the boss of Pilate. And they let him know in no unfriendly terms, "If you don't give us what we want here, we're going to report you. We're going to report you. We're going to see that news gets back to Rome that there was a man here in Palestine who claimed to be a king of the Jews who is in open rebellion against the rule of Caesar." Hey, you don't want to do that in those days. We'll see that the news gets back. And so they kind of force his hand at that point, and he gives in and gives them what they want. It's what they demand, wasn't it? But it wasn't only the rulers. It was the people. And this is the tough part. I think this is the part that probably Pilate struggled with the most, that he could understand the intent of the leaders and their fear of power struggle, losing power. He could kind of see that. But what he couldn't figure out was the people. Why do these people hate this man so bad? Why is all of Jerusalem crying out for the blood of this one man that he said is innocent? He said, he basically examined him and said he's innocent. You know, he's certainly done nothing that would warrant the death penalty, but yet they demanded it, and he gives in to their will for that. But and it says, after they demand that Barabbas be released, well, what do we do with Jesus? Crucify him. It says, and he delivered Jesus unto their will, or to be crucified, after he had scourged him. This was not a mere beating, but this is a terrible beating. Brutal, brutal beating that left our Lord half beat to death. We've heard of that line before. He was beat half to death. Jesus was beat half to death. And then they march him to the cross. It was customary for the condemned to carry the crossbar of the cross. Jesus was so beaten and so worn down and weak that he could not carry the cross. A Roman soldier will not help you carry the cross. They won't do it. They'd just as soon as he died there, but that would have been too easy. The centurion is really in no position to order a Jew, their local, the people that's saying, kill him. They ain't going to help him. It would have been cited a riot if he had forced one of these local Jews in Jerusalem who was screaming for the blood of Jesus. We ain't going to do it. That he'd had a riot on his hand. So the simple solution seemed to be to pick out a foreigner. His name is Simon, we're told, from Cyrene, North Africa, across the Mediterranean. It was probably 800 miles if you tracked it. A pilgrim who had come to Jerusalem for what? The Passover. Had probably heard, we don't know all this, but it's probably likely he's 800 miles from home, that he really knew very little about Jesus and all this, except the local talk. You know, it was a news item that week in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a buzz that week. All the pilgrims, and here's this one guy from North Africa. He's called Simon of Cyrene, a Cyrenian, and hey, you. You're a foreigner. You're not one of the locals. You help him carry the cross. You. It says they compelled. That means they forced him. You don't dare tell a Roman centurion, no, I'll not do it. You know, we have a lot of problem today in our country because people don't comply, you know, with orders and stuff. But I assure you, it wouldn't have went well had this foreigner a long way from home, and he said, no, I'm not getting involved in this. I don't have a dog in this race. Get somebody else. That wasn't an option. He is forced, he is obligated to do something by the Roman centurion, and he's called into service. I guess we could say he was pressed into service that day. An innocent bystander. I don't have anything in this. I don't know much about this Jesus except some of the things I've heard about him. I know one thing. He made a bunch of people mad at him. And that's for sure. All of the city crying for the blood of Jesus. This crossbar would weigh between 75 and 125 pounds as a beam. And so he gives in and he helps. He's compelled, as it says. But he probably personally at this point in time probably feels like, why me? I'm just an innocent bystander, you know, because you're not a local and you're here and you will do this. And he done it. But I'm not involved. I don't know anything about this. Just do as you are told. A lot of people today want to claim that I'm an innocent bystander. You know, there's things going on. You know, a lot of people you witness to, they don't want to talk about spiritual matters. I don't know so much about all that. You know, I'll leave that to somebody else. You know, as if we can claim somehow immunity and we don't know anything about it and somehow that's going to excuse us. Don't bet on it, you see. Innocent bystanders. There is in our midst today that we are living in real time the culmination of things that are prophesied and the ending of things. We believe very strongly that prophecy in the signs of the time indicate that we are living in critical times, you know, and things are happening in real time. I just made a statement earlier about how we are blessed to live in our country and in the world to come. We have everlasting life. We have the best of both worlds so far. Huh? May not always be that way. The Sunday school lesson was about a people who had it made for a long time. And then when it was taken away, the Book of Lamentations, they are weeping. They are broken because life that they had been taken away. We may see some of that one day. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. There is a great drama going on. People maybe choose to ignore this, and I'm not spiritual, I don't know about all this, therefore I am an innocent bystander. But it doesn't change the events that are going on all around us in real time. The drama of the ages is happening. Do you realize that? That there has always been this age-old battle between good and bad, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, and we can't claim that we have no involvement. That won't cut it. We won't be able to say, well, I am an innocent bystander. I don't know anything about that. I'm not involved in it. Well, you're anything but innocent to start with. Do you realize that? Well, I don't have anything to do with that. But you do. Simon might have thought to himself, I don't have anything to do with this. I'm not the one who called out for him to be crucified. I don't know that much about the man. I don't have anything to do with it. But we do. We do. Our transgressions were upon him. You know, it is our sins that place Jesus on the cross. So we have a part in it. Whether you like it or not, you know, we are certainly not innocent. We may be bystanders by choice, but we are anything but innocent. We are guilty. The prophet foretold years ago, he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. The Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows, Jesus beaten. You know, the Romans, did not want him to die carrying the cross, they would have said that would have been too easy for him. We want to see this man crucified, and the people did too. And that's why they compel Simon to help him with the cross. The Lord, so beaten. How can we be innocent bystanders when the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The badly beaten body of Jesus, that they stripped him down and beat him, you know, tied to the whipping post. There used to be a song called that. Jesus was beaten half to death, and he was wounded for our transgression. Now, how am I involved? Because Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. It is because of our sins and transgressions that he willingly gives himself to be a sacrifice to God, to appease for our sins, that we could be found not just okay with God, but just in the eyes of God. This sacrifice that Jesus gave satisfied the justice of God. The holiness of God called for justice to be done. And because of our sins, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, and can be healed if you're not. With his stripes, that is the only hope that we have to be healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. See, there are no innocent bystanders in this drama that is happening right now, being carried out. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've turned to our own ways. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. God placed the iniquities of us all upon Jesus on the cross. It was a heavy load. It was the cup that he had to drink of. It was a heavy load that he carried. And so we are not innocent bystanders. Whether we want to admit it or not, we all have a stake in the crucifixion, in the death of Jesus. He died for our sins, and we cannot claim to be innocent bystanders. There's so many people today that they don't want to think about spiritual matters you witness to. Well, I don't know about all that stuff. Hey, you better be thinking about it, you know, because one of these days we're going to die and face the judgment. The Bible says it's appointed that we're all going to die one day, and after this, the judgment. That there are things going on in a spiritual realm that maybe we don't see with the physical eyes, but it is happening, and it's happening right now. Oh, you may claim, and a lot of people are today, well, I mean, that doesn't involve, how does that involve me? How does it involve you directly? Because Jesus died for your sins, for your sin. We can look at this 2,000 years later and give a pretty harsh judgment on the people of Jerusalem. And to think, again, I say that I believe, my way of thinking, that Pilate was most stricken by the fact that the people were so set upon killing this man. We can understand the leaders, their motivation and all that, but the people, common people, normal, everyday citizens, good little Jewish people crying out for his blood. We can judge them harshly, but the fact is that we were all just as guilty as if we would have been there. Oh, I'd have never done that. But we did do it. We did do that. In fact, there's tradition in oral history of the song, "Were You There When They Crucified Our Lord?" That missionaries taught that story. Tradition's not in the Bible. To African-American slaves, and the tradition went on that the Roman soldier who won the robe of Jesus, all that he had to his name when he died was the tunic, and the one guy walks away with the tunic. And tradition says that later this man lost his mind, that he went mad. There's a lot of mad people in our country today. I went to the dollar store last night. I saw one of the workers looking around back. I went on in, got a little bottle of grape juice to come out. And there was a guy out there just ranting and raving and preaching, not a soul there. And he was cussing. He had some beer, they said. I didn't see it. But he was mad. You know what I mean? And so they're looking at him and calling the cops and all that. He was mad, whether it was drugs, alcohol, mental health, probably all of the above. But the tradition says that this Roman soldier who won the tunic of Jesus later went mad in life. And the story is that he would go around to people, he'd just go up to people and say, "Was you there? Hey, was you there? Was you there?" Just going from person to person. You've seen people like that before, you know, just go around talking to everybody. And he'd say, "Was you there? Was you out there when we crucified him? Was you there? Was you out there when we crucified him?" We might as well have been. Did you know that? We might as well have been. Because we all played a part in Jesus' death. Jesus died for us. We need to be able to say, "Yeah, I bear some of the responsibility. Not me. I didn't do it. I've been a good person." Jesus didn't die for good people, did he? In fact, he said there's none good but one, and that is God. We all played a part in this suffering that Jesus had to do. Now I want you to see the broken Jesus. So broken that he cannot go with the load of the cross. And they had to compel an innocent bystander, a foreigner, the only guy who had no choice. A local Jew would have said, "Not me. We're the ones calling for his death." But here is a foreigner who stood out amongst the crowd. "Hey, you help this man carry the cross. We want to see that he's crucified." Oh, we're anything but innocent bystanders. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. Matthew chapter 27, Pilate, in fact, thought within himself, This ain't my deal. You know, these Jews are into it here with this guy. I don't really understand it. Finally, he had to give in to them. And he tries to pull this deal that I'm innocent. You know, I'm bound to make a decision and to give them what they want, but really I'm going to play the role of an innocent bystander. I mean, he wasn't innocent. And he certainly wasn't a bystander, was he? Because he's the man. He's the judge. Matthew 27 and 22 says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" they all say unto him, let him be crucified. It's not a mixed crowd here. And the governor said, why, what evil has he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. I don't see anything wrong with let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And that's kind of what people want to do today. You know, I don't have anything in this. Y'all take care of that down there at the church. Well, we do. I beg your pardon. We all have a part in it. We all had a part in the crucifixion. We can't do like Pilate and say, you know, I don't want to get involved in this. You know, I don't know. Y'all say all this. No, I'm not too sure about it. I didn't have nothing to do. Jesus didn't die for me. Hey, did you know Jesus died for you? Well, I don't know nothing about that. I didn't have no part in it. The Bible says that even before the judgment, that Pilate's wife come to him and said, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things of him in a dream because of him. Have nothing to do with him. You know, hey, don't get too involved with this man. There's something going on here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There was something going on. Jesus was about to die for your sins. And you're going to have something to do with it. One way or the other, you're going to have something to do with it. You're going to either come to terms in this life or the life hereafter, for the Bible says that every knee will bow one day. Every knee will fess up and take responsibility one day. Either we will bow the knee and confess in this life, or in the world to come, we'll be forced to confess. Not only will we be forced to confess that He is the Lord of this universe, that He is Christ, but we'll be forced to admit that we've been terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. A mistake that we'll be paying for throughout eternity. So Pilate said, I'm going to just wash my hands of this. Y'all see to it. Listen, you can't walk away from what Jesus has done for you. It is my job to tell you about this. We are not innocent bystanders. We have to come to make a decision. You know, this war between good and evil demands that we have an allegiance, you know. Well, I'm not for either side. I don't know about this kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light and all this warfare going on. And so I'll just remain neutral. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So there's no neutral ground. There is no way that we can claim to be innocent bystanders of what has happened here. What happened, preacher? Jesus died on the cross. That's what happened. How am I involved? Because He died for your sins. Whether you accept it or not, He died for your sins. Your sins played a part in Jesus dying on the cross. You're either for me or against me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus said, he said, well, I can't carry Jesus' cross. Old Simon did, didn't he? He was compelled to. He was ordered to. He was obligated to. And he dare not refuse the Roman guard. He done his duty. We believe it probably changed his life, by the way, because his sons are mentioned in the very verse, probably one of them that's in Romans chapter 16, probably. History says they went on to be workers in the church. Probably changed his life carrying the cross of Jesus that day. Listen to me. Jesus is not asking you to carry his cross. He made it to the cross with the help of Simon. And he was crucified. And he died. And he was buried. And he rose again. Never to die again. He's not coming back to this world to die again, but he's coming back to reign in all power and glory. He is not asking you to feel sorry for him, for what he done. He's not asking you to say, oh, but if I was there, I would have volunteered. Well, where's the disciples? If you think about that, where's Peter? Where's John? Where are those? They are intimidated. They're intimidated. They're not there. So we say, oh, but if I was there, I would have helped. He is not asking you to fantasize about you being there and being a hero and volunteering to tote his cross and to help him. He's not asking you to feel sorry for him. Not asking for pity. He is the Lord of glory. He's not asking you to tote his cross, but he is asking you, and he is commanding you, if you are a follower of his, to carry your cross. Your cross. Verse 24, Matthew 16. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Used to be an old song we'd say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. We're not innocent bystanders. We're called to carry our cross. We had a part in it. Simon was compelled. At first, he had no option. He had to do what they told him. The Bible says, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, to bear his cross. Compelled. God calls people to do things. Sometimes He'll compel us. He'll force us. You think about what Jesus done for us. It'll help you to feel obligated. Are we obligated to do these things for the Lord? Absolutely. How can we refuse Him? Polycarp said when he was martyred, they said, oh, just go ahead and say Caesar is Lord. Seems such a small thing. All you have to do is say allegiance to Caesar and live. But the Christians wouldn't do it. Because why? Jesus is Lord. And they said there's nobody above Jesus. He is Lord. Oh, but that's treason against Rome. You must say Lord Caesar or be killed. Standers by says to Polycarp, history says, go ahead and say it, even if you don't believe it. Go ahead, just say it, appease them, and live. And he would not do it. He would not do it. They say he knocked the pitcher of salt from the man's hands. He put an offering of salt on the altar and say, Lord Caesar. He knocked the pitcher of salt from the man's hand and said, ever how old he was, I don't know, 86 years have I served him. Not one time has he ever failed me. I cannot deny him now. He felt obligated to do that. Yet so many of God's people today don't feel any obligation to even carry their own cross, let alone think about carrying the cross of Jesus. The Lord can compel us to do His work. Pressed into service is this man, Simon from Cyrene, from North Africa, a long way from home. Didn't really have a dog in that fight, but he was called into service by the Romans. Hey, the Lord calls us into service. If you're here today and you're lost, God is calling you to serve Him. He is calling you to acknowledge what His Son has done for you. Up until this, you've not even really acknowledged what He done for you. The broken Jesus, trying to make it to the cross, half dead, crucified between two thieves there for your sins. Have you even acknowledged that? Do you not even feel bad about, hey, when it comes down to it, part of my sins is what placed Him there. I'm guilty before God. Have you even thought about that? There's no more being an innocent bystander. As of today, you are involved in this, whether you like it or not. For better or worse, you've been warned that you are a part of the drama of the ages that is happening right now. And I just wonder if you've responded to it in a way that you're at peace with God. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you're here today and you need to be pressed into service, the Holy Spirit is pressing you and calling you into service. I got to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. Perhaps you've never acknowledged and come to terms with the fact that Jesus' death on the cross directly involves you. That happened 2,000 years ago. What's it got to do with me? You're sitting here today, you're breathing. That's what it's got to do with you. Have you acknowledged that? Let's stand together today. If you need to be saved, come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to be pressed into service, may the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart. Shall we sing?